Good afternoon, it's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on Thursday, the 1st of December, the year 2011. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll be talking to Amanda Chisholm from the La City Museum about the first Friday showing there and also Saturday's Coffee and Collections program. Could a preview of Saturday's Gold Street Music Concert with Mike Truax. Jesse Herman will be here to highlight Saturday's radio auction. And Nancy Ducherney will be here to give us the rundown on art happenings in the capital city during Arts Up. At Writer's Almanac Music and more today on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight looks like mostly cloudy skies with scattered rain showers and snow showers. Forecast for Friday looks like rain and high temperatures around 39 degrees.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Tribal leaders are in the nation's capital this week meeting with federal officials and the president. Matt Laszlo has more.
White House officials have been holding regional meetings throughout the week with tribal leaders, while lawmakers on Capitol Hill and their staffs have been briefing leaders on different bills winding through Congress. Native American leaders say they're still not getting a fair cut of the federal pie when it comes to funding items like transportation and education. Some tribes also complain the federal government continues to break treaties by encroaching on tribal lands. The president has signed executive orders that are supposed to force bureaucrats to consult with tribes more. But Terry Rambler, the chairman of Arizona's San Carlos Apache tribe, says he needs to see more follow-through.
Making a proclamation like that versus the implementation part, you know, it's two different stories. So we're kind of in the implementation part right now, and we just need to keep pushing that.
On Friday, tribal leaders will spend the day at a White House conference where President Obama is scheduled to address Native leaders from across the U.S. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington, D.C.
Alaska tribes are objecting to part of a policy the Interior Department is signing. KMBA's Jocelyn Estes reports.
A rider attached to a 2004 appropriations bill directed federal agencies to consult with Alaska Native corporations in the same manner as tribes. So the new tribal consultation protocol outlines a federal consultation process for the corporations. However, Alaska Native tribal leaders oppose giving for-profit corporations created under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act of 1971, or ANCSA, the same rights as tribes. Evelyn Thomas of the village of Crooked Creek in western Alaska was an alternate on the committee of tribal representatives that helped develop the tribal protocol.
The federal government formed the corporations, you know, well, the state did too. And they gave them power over the land and the resources. But the tribes are the ones who live on the land and the water.
Rosita Wuerl is vice chair of the ANCSA Corporation Sea Alaska and heads the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute.
I don't know that people know that Alaska Native corporations are tribes for special statutory purposes. They don't claim to be tribal governments. You know, that's definitely the role of tribes to act as the government. But corporations, you know, do have interests.
The secretarial order Ken Salazar is signing directs all Department of Interior agencies to comply with the tribal consultation protocol. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Jocelyn Estes.
In Canada, a government move Wednesday to address the Attawapiskat housing crisis in Ontario was a slap in the face to some in the community. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
Some of the reserve's 2,000 residents are living in deplorable conditions, and the Red Cross has intervened to fly in emergency supplies. But with the brutal Canadian winter coming fast, there are calls for a long-term solution. The Federal Minister of Aboriginal Affairs says the government has pumped $90 million into the community over the past 5 years. Now there are questions about where that money has been spent. Yesterday, the government took control over public funding of the reserve, the highest form of intervention available. But Attawapiskat Chief Teresa Spence says her community is being punished for speaking out.
I'm very disappointed and discouraged, and I'm sure the other First Nations are going to be discouraged if they have problems in their community, and if they ask for assistance and you have to go to media. You're going to get penalized like we are right now.
One MP says the Prime Minister has effectively silenced the Cree by taking away control of their own finances. And Native leaders in the region say the band's finances are independently audited and available for anyone to see. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
During this week in 2010, the U.S. Attorney for New Mexico held the first of its kind tribal consultation. Officials addressed public safety during the meeting in Albuquerque. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. If you are a Native American who experienced discrimination from the USDA while trying to get a farm loan, you can get free legal help with filing a claim at meetings held around the country through December. Details and a schedule of meetings is at IndianFarmClass.com or 1-888-233-5506. Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. First guest is Amanda Chisholm from the Juneau Douglas City Museum here to talk about their first Friday opening at this museum. Amanda, thank you very much for coming by.
Thanks, Jeff.
So this is a Rasmussen retrospective.
It is. So this exhibit consists of 31 contemporary artists who, since 2003, the museum has been collecting contemporary works strictly from Juneau artists. And so now we get to display them and have everyone from the community and hopefully all the artists involved come check it out.
And these are all purchased through the Rasmussen Foundation financings?
Yeah, so in 2003, the Arts Acquisition Fund provides grants for Alaska museums, and we started this work by collecting art from Alaskan artists, and it arose in part out of the foundation's interest in encouraging museums to support Alaskan artists.
And you had 31 pieces of art selected for this showing?
Yeah, so out of the 74 works of art in the collection, we have 31 currently on view.
And list the artists, please.
We have, name a few.
You name all so they all feel good.
Michael Beasley, Richard Beasley, Rick Clare, Barbara Craver, Mark Dotty, who currently lives in Seattle now, Dan DeRue, Anna Brown Ellers, Mary Ellen Frank, Charity Green, Salty Haynes, Brandon Hauser, Jack Hermley, Marilyn Holmes, Ella Johnson Bentley, Rachel Usler, Reeman Yos, Kay Field Parker, David Walker, David Woody, and Davida Stipek-Ryder.
It's an impressive list of artists.
Yeah, it's a great show. Lots of different stuff.
And that's opening up first Friday at the Juneau Douglas City Museum at the corner of 4th and Main Streets. And how is the art selected?
Jane Lindsay, the museum's director, as well as Addison Fields, the curator of collections, they do the majority of the selections. Sometimes if we have some of our staff members will be out in town and tell Jane and Addison to check out a certain piece. As far as I know, there's no hard and fast way in which the art is chosen, but just a lot of Juneau local artists and galleries that will show their work. I know last year Rachel Usler's piece, Friend Fence Post, was chosen when she exhibited at the Jack. So just to give you an example, we purchased her piece from the Jack. So.
All right. And that's all happening Friday night. It starts about what time, 4 o'clock?
4:30 to 7:30, and there'll be light refreshments as usual.
And then on Saturday, you have a couple of activities.
We do. Starting at 10:30, we have coffee and collections, and that's with James Cohn, and he's going to talk about Half Ton of Trouble, which is his new novel, and he'll be signing some books as well.
And that novel is based here in Juneau.
Yeah, correct. Jim used to work at the Pioneer Home. He was a healthcare administrator, and so he would hear stories from some of the folks there at the Pioneer Home, and when he would retell them, his friends encouraged him to write them down, so he produced this novel, which is really great. So like I said, signed copies will be on sale for $12.95 at the museum on Saturday.
It's a fun read. I got a chance to look at it a few months ago, and it's an enjoyable book to read.
Yeah, it's been flying off the shelves. It's really popular. So.
And also on Saturday, you're giving young people the opportunity to make their own holiday crackers.
That's correct. Alicia Jones, Curator of Public Programs, will be hosting a make-your-own holiday cracker. It's back to Victorian times, a British tradition, where crackers that contain cracker snaps and a crown and a joke or a riddle. In this case, we'll have candy and decorating supplies on hand for anyone that wants to drop in, and it's $5.
You have to go into a little bit more detail what exactly a cracker is.
It's a cylindrical-shaped kind of item. It's wrapped in a decorative, like, Christmas paper wrapping. It's frayed on each end, and you can pull it, and it snaps and kind of cracks, and a bunch of fun things can come out of it depending on what you fill it with.
And should people bring your own things to fill it with?
We will have candy and decorating supplies on hand. So that goes into the cost, which is $5 for the activity.
And then that's happening from noon until 4 p.m. What's the age range of the participants?
I'd say anyone from 5 to 12, any age group, really welcome. Young kids, always encourage adult supervision.
All right, Amanda Chisholm, there's lots of things going on at the Juno Douglas City Museum. And what time does it open normally?
We're open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 4. And if I could just briefly add that we have a gift shop showcase with Sarah Lee, who's doing felted ornaments. And that's going to be coinciding with the retrospective, and her work will be through the month. So.
All right, Amanda, thank you very much for coming down.
Great. Thanks, Jeff.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 1st of December, 2011. It was on this day, 1955, an African-American seamstress named Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama. She was black. Whites were supposed to get the first four rows of the bus, but there were more white passengers than there were seats for them, so the driver moved the divider back. And now Ms. Parks, who had sat down in the black section, was in the white section and was asked to move, and she refused. This had happened to her before, and she had moved then, but this time she was tired, and she didn't want to. She said, "When he saw me still sitting, he asked if I was going to stand up, and I said, 'No, I'm not.' And he said, 'Well, if you don't stand up, I'm going to have to call the police and have you arrested.' I said, 'You may do that.' And she was, and the arrest led to a boycott of the city's buses led by the 26-year-old Martin Luther King, Jr. Ultimately, the Supreme Court ruled that the segregation policy was unconstitutional. It's the birthday of Woody Allen, Brooklyn, 1935, who took the name Woody in honor of the jazz clarinetist Woody Herman. Woody Allen, who said, "Guys like Martin Scorsese and Spike Lee depict New York very often, very realistically, I don't. The New York I've shown over the years is the New York I got from Hollywood movies." And it's the birthday of the paranormal investigator Joe Nickell, 1944, senior research fellow at the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry, who travels around the world investigating mysteries and exposing hoaxes, author of the book Tracking the Man-Beast, Sasquatch, Vampires, Zombies, and more. Here's a poem for today by Alden Nowlin, "The Bull Moose." Down from the purple mist of trees on the mountain, lurching through forests of white spruce and cedar, stumbling through tamarack swamps, came the bull moose, to be stopped at last by a pole-fenced pasture. Too tired to turn, or perhaps aware there was no place left to go, he stood with the cattle. They, scenting the musk of death, seeing his great head like the ritual mask of a blood god, moved to the other end of the field and waited. The neighbors heard of it, and by afternoon cars lined the road. The children teased him with alder switches, and he gazed at them like an old tolerant collie. The women asked if he could have escaped from a fair. The oldest man in the parish remembered seeing a gelded moose yoked with an ox for plowing. The young men snickered and tried to pour beer down his throat while the girlfriends took their pictures. And the bull moose let them stroke his tick-ravaged flanks, let them pry open his jaws with bottles, let a giggling girl plant a little purple cap of thistles on his head. When the wardens came, everyone agreed it was a shame to shoot anything so shaggy and cuddlesome. He looked like the kind of pet women put to bed with their sons. So they held their fire. But just as the sun dropped in the river, the bull moose gathered his strength like a scaffolded king, straightened and lifted his horns so that even the wardens backed away as they raised their rifles. When he roared, people ran to their cars. All the young men leaned on their automobile horns as he toppled. A poem by Alden Nowlin, The Bull Moose, from What Happened When He Went to the Store for Bread, published by Thousands Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, you can read the current issue of Poetry or listen to the monthly editor's podcast at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Time is 3:16 and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. This Saturday from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. here on KTUO and also KRNN, we're going to be featuring the holiday auction with a variety of activities and variety of items. In fact, just about 200, if not 200 or more. In the studio with me to talk about it is the auction coordinator, Jesse Herman Haywood. Jesse, thank you for coming down the station today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I should say thank you for working on the auction. For how many weeks and weeks have you been working on it?
About 2 months.
2 months.
Yeah.
200 items?
About 200 items. We have a catalog about probably about 25,000 worth. It's going to be one of our biggest auctions. We're really excited this year because we have lots of tangible items, lots of physical gifts this year, lots of fun stuff. We're doing a really cool thing this year where we're having a First Friday preview for tomorrow night. We're welcoming everybody to come down and check out all the art on the wall and also check out all the items set up in the conference room downstairs from 4 to 6 o'clock. We're also doing a really fun thing this year where we're having a live TV feed that's going to be on KTOO.org the day of the auction, so you can actually watch the auction this year while you're participating and listening. So it's really cool.
And how can people find out more information about the catalog itself? Because it's expanded since it was in the Juneau Empire last Sunday.
There's all the up-to-date items and pictures on the catalog. You can go to KTOO.org/auction-catalog or just go to KTOO.org and click on the fun picture with your face on it, Jeff.
Do you have a few highlights?
A few highlights. We've got really fun stuff. Eagle Crest has been awesome enough to donate season passes and 5-day and day passes. Becoming Images has donated a bunch of photo packages. Corvus Design, Landscape Architects, has donated a really cool chair. Costa Helicopters, of course, have donated some trips. Silverbow Inn has been awesome with food and stays. Pearson Pond, Art Matters, tons of fun stuff this year. I think this catalog is going to be really great, and I hope everybody tunes in on Saturday.
What's the process for people who have not taken part in an art radio auction before?
You can tune in on the radio on auction day from 10 to 6 on 102.7 and 104.3. Listen in. You look at the online catalog online. When your item comes up, you wait for them to auction it off, and then you call, I believe the number of that auction day will be 586-3636. Call in and bid, and just that'll be it.
Sounds like a lot of items. I thought you might talk for a little bit longer about some of the great items. Anything you're excited about personally?
Personally, there's a lot of fun stuff. Like Odette that works at KTOO, she's donating some pies. My friend Katie's making cupcakes. A lot of the holiday gift ideas I'm really excited about. There's lots of art this year, which we haven't had. So there's lots of local artists that have donated pieces, which is exciting. We haven't had a bunch of art in a long time. I'm just excited about all of it. The First Friday preview is going to be probably the best we've ever had, so I hope everybody comes down on Friday at 4 to check it out.
And even though we encourage you to listen in and pledge, make your bid on the air on the telephone, you're also welcome to come down here and make your bid that way.
That's right. We're really encouraging audience participation this year. You can come and sit in and put your hand up and auction and be part of it. We're going to have food that day from Silver Bow, and we're also going to have coffee from The Grind. So it's going to be a lot of fun and snacks, and it's a big event this year.
And a bid, it would look at the catalog, is ktuo.org, and a bid is 586-3636 or 1-800-478-3636. Jesse Herman Haywood, thank you for coming by. Anything you'd like to add before we go off the air?
No, thanks for having me, Jeff.
Hey, well, all right, sir, here we go there, and what are you going to give for? I have a $600 down here, now 10, and now 25, and now 35, and now 50, now 60, will you give me 60, now 75, 75, another $85 on the bottom there. There was a boy in Arkansas who wouldn't listen to his ma when she told him he should go to school. He'd sneak away in the afternoon, take a little walk, then pretty soon you'd find him at the local auction barn. He'd stand and listen carefully, then pretty soon he began to see how the auctioneer could talk so rapidly. He said, oh my, it's do or die, I've got to learn that auction cry, gotta make my mark and be an auctioneer. $25 bid, or now $30, 30, will you give me 30, make it 30, bid up on my $30, will you give me 30, who'd bid a $30 bid? $30 bid, or now 35, will you give me 35, to make it 35, to bid a 35, who would have bid it at a $35 bid? As time went on, he did his best, and all could see he didn't jest, he practiced calling bids both night and day. His pap would find him behind the barn just working up an awful storm as he tried to imitate the auctioneer. Then his pap said, son, we just can't stand to have a mediocre man selling things at auction using our good name. I'll send you off to auction school, then you'll be nobody's fool. You can take your place among the best. $35 bid, another $40, 40, will they give me 40, make it 40, bid on all the $40 on wheeling 40, who'd bid a $40 bid? $40 bid, now 45, will you give me 45, to make it a 45, to bid a 45, who would have bid it at a $45 bid? So from that boy who went to school, there grew a man who played it cool. He came back home a full-fledged auctioneer. Then the people came from miles around to hear him make that rhythmic sound and filled their hearts with such a happy cheer. His fame spread out from shore to shore. He had all he could do and more. Had to buy a plane to get around. Now he's a pops in all the land. Let Paul give that man a hand. He's the best of all the auctioneers. $45 bid, another $50, 50, will they give me 50, make it 50, bid it all, $50, will they give me 50, who'd bid a $50 bid? $50 bid, and now 55, will they give me 55, to make it a 55, a bid a 55, sold that home for a $50 bill. Hey, well, all right, sir, open the gate and let him out and walk him, boys. Here we come, a lot number 29 in. What are they going to give for him? I'm a 25, to get 35, another 50, make it 50, bit of 50, now 60, will they give me 60, now 75, now 85, now 95, 100, now 25, now 50, 75, now 2, now 3, now 4, now 5, now 6, now 7, now 8, $100 on the
just lucky, I guess. Well, I could have fallen for you. And I never realized, well, how much I wanted to. How in the world did this heart get into such a mess? It wasn't easy. I was just lucky, I guess. Some chance love affair. I never gave it a thought. But just a minute there, and I just might have been caught. and in the nick of time, you smiled and I confessed. Well, that was a close one. I was just lucky. I thought I had it all arranged. I was just coasting when I met you. Then you came along and put an end to all my bragging and boasting. And would you please tell me, just what I have to do. To stand just half a chance. To spend my life with you. When you know that you hold the key. Just lucky, I guess. Now how did I let that happen? I was just lucky, I guess. Thank you.
This is Mike Truax, probably recorded live at one of the Alaska Folk Festivals he's been featured at. He is the featured performer at this week's Gold Street Music Concert, which is happening Saturday, December 3rd at 2011 at 7:30 in the evening. Tickets are available at $5 at the door. Here to do with me to talk a little about Mike is Elva Bontrager. Elva, thank you for coming down the station today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
So you want to tell me a little bit about Mike and his music?
Right. He's quite remarkable, actually. He has a tremendously retentive memory and wonderful delivery. He just... He can sing funny, he can sing heart-wrenching, it's more funny than heart-wrenching, but he does them all. And he does lots of performers that we don't, it covers a lot of performers that we've never even heard. He's great. He's a great crowd pleaser. You're an instant fan.
One of my favorite moments at the Alaska Folk Festival was when he talked about being a songwriter because he's only written one song and most people have written more than one song.
So I can call myself a songwriter. I wrote a song.
So he performs a lot of performance material by a lot of other people. Who are some of the people he covers by?
Jesse Winchester and Shel Silverstein, John Prine.
Lon Wainwright III.
And he does some new ones also. And he does even some women's songs his voice is just, it's very flexible and smooth and full of, he knows what he's saying when he sings a song.
This is a special Gold Street Music Concert going on this Saturday, this December 3rd at Resurrection Lutheran Church, which is at the corner of 10th and Glacier. It's got an opening act?
Yeah, Mark Hurd and Steve Houlihan are going to open, do a 30-minute set. And those two are very good, they're excellent musicians. Huli often sings with Mike, and Mark Hurd usually is a solo act, so I don't know what they've got planned together, but it'll be good. They're always good. They're excellent.
You get a preview of it tonight on KRNN during Angelina Aaron's show?
Pardon me?
Angelina Aaron's is going to be featuring Mark's music tonight. He's going to be a guest on KRNN at 5 o'clock, between 5 and 7 tonight.
Oh.
Special little surprise. You can get a preview of the music.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Well, let's feature a little bit more of the music by Mike Truax. He'll be appearing this Saturday at 7:30 at Resurrection Lutheran Church. Well, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Well, thanks, Jeff.
Well, We were wild and young and willing to give it anything it took to get to where we were going. You could read us like a book. Our nights were hot and filled with a lot of lovers and dreams and songs. And mornings usually found us in places we did not belong. But those were the days. Those were the days. We listened to the songs Billy Horner wrote and sat there stoned amazed. We forgot to eat. We forgot to sleep, searching for the perfect ride. So here's to the good old days, baby, one more time. And I remember Rodney saying if he had two shots and a beer, well, he might get some sleep tonight, give his head a chance to clear. And I reminded him of an old girlfriend singing at the Red Dog Saloon. I recall us doing lots of things that night, and I think we got to bed around noon. Those were the days. Those were the days. When the Chicken Ridge Rowdies were the only band in town, but they'd let anybody play. We just got to eat. We forgot to sleep, searching for the perfect line. Here's to the good old days, baby, one more time. We were wild and young and willing, and we still are in some way. And every now and then we still have one of them good old days. And it makes me proud to think out loud of lovers and dreams and songs, and how they always kept me going, and the best ones are never gone. Those were the days. Those were the days. We'd sing under the cover of George's gift shop until we got blown away. We forgot to eat. We forgot to sleep, searching for the perfect rhyme. So here's to the good old days, baby, one more time. Yeah, those were the days. Those were the days. So here's to the good old days, baby, one more time.
KRNN's performance series continues at the Gold Town Nickelodeon as Take 5 goes live. The Robert Cohen Quartet plays excellent jazz Wednesday, December 7th from 7 to 9 p.m. with Cohen on keyboards, Adrian Minney on bass, Clay Good on drums, Doug Bridges on sax, and others. Be there. That's Wednesday, December 7th, 7 to 9 at the Gold Town. Tickets available at ktoo.org and at the door.
I am spirit of you.
I am spirit of you.
I am spirit of you.
I am a leader.
Volunteer.
I give back to my community.
Alter,
I am
spirit of you.
I am spirit of you.
I am spirit of you.
Here's my story.
Here are stories.
On this busy morning, about a dozen teens are making use of the Teen Underground. The Teen Underground is a new space built for older kids in the Z.J. Lusack Library, Anchorage's main branch. The center boasts flashy new technology and glass walls that separate the space and the sounds from the rest of the building. It's easy to figure out where you are in the new space because it's well marked with a super cool logo, and that logo was fittingly designed by a teenager. 14-year-old Spencer Mitten was still in the 8th grade when he crafted the winning contest entry.
There's kind of two parts to it. A bottom part, and it has the Teen Underground, and the teen part is all the way to the left.
Spencer was invited to an event to celebrate the summer opening of the Teen Underground, and that's when he first saw his logo being used. He says it was cool because he's pretty sure he wants to be a professional designer someday.
There's print design, which is basically logos and brochures, and then there's web design, and I've been pretty interested in that. And then there's also like animation and stuff like that, like motion graphics. And I'm kind of exploring with that right now, seeing what I'd like to do, which area I'd like to go in.
Along with winning, he got an opportunity to spend a few afternoons working on more Teen Underground stuff with designers at a local advertising agency.
It was cool seeing all the different creative designers there in their different creative spaces, kind of collaborating to make their stuff.
Spencer says he'll keep working on his design portfolio while in high school. I'm Shanna Sheehy.
I am a teenager.
I am an Alaskan. I give back.
Do you see me?
Recognize youth ages 12 to 19 at spiritofyouth.org.
Provided by the Alaska State Division of Behavioral Health.
To survive this harshest night.
I'm gonna watch you shine, gonna watch you grow, gonna paint the sign so you'll always know. As long as one and one is two, there could never be a father loved his daughter more than I.
Up on K2 is supported in part by the Juno Artist Gallery, a cooperative featuring the work of over 25 local artists and artisans. The Juno Artist Gallery is open year-round, located downtown in the Senate Building.
Time is 3:46 and you are tuned in to KTOO News in Juno, where Nancy D'Antoni has just breezed in through the breeze.
Boy, is it breezy.
It is breezy indeed. So what's going on this weekend? Just a couple of things, I think.
One or two, yeah. Juno's outdone itself this weekend, I have to say. It's First Friday, but I want to just mention a couple things that are happening on Thursday tonight. It's World AIDS Day. From 6 to 7 p.m. there's going to be a candlelight vigil at the Baranoff Hotel. We do have the Hen House at the UAS Rec Center and a couple of speeches and stuff. talks. The Alaska Native Cultures has a film series going, and of course Laboam is running through the weekend. But should we talk about First Friday?
Why not? It's getting close.
It's
closer as we
yes. It's 36 different locations that we've been able to identify. This
wow.
is, I think, a new high. I'll just say there's some groups that aren't ordinarily on the list. You can, and I'm just going to kind of do them in alphabetical order, and I'm going to speak them really fast. But what you ought to do on Friday is come to the Arts Council and get that lovely little flyer that Kari spends most of her day on Thursday putting together. So that'll give you the map, or not the map, but sort of a, where everything is. Okay, Alaska Litho. It was in the Empire. Read it. The Alaska State Museum at the State Office Building is going to be highlighting the watercolors that Sam McLean does of Russian Orthodox churches. The Alaska State Museum has several wonderful things, the versatile birch and the boreal birch, and works by Avril Valise and Constance Baltuck. And I would note that Dan Hobson's new CD features a painting by Constance as the cover artwork, and so the CD will be available there. It is also available at the Arts Council, and Dan will be signing his CDs up at the Baranoff Friday night. Okay?
I hope Dan brings a copy of the CD here so we can play it on the radio.
I should have brought one over with me. It is lovely. Really lovely. Alaska USA Bank. What's a bank doing? Anyway, they're hosting a Chamber of Commerce After Hours and First Friday event with photography by Larry Johansson, appetizers by the Silverbow. Annie Kales, always having fun. They have five artists. They have Sandra Griba, Alice Tierstig, Sherry McDonald, Rob Royce, and Karen Beeson. Aunt Claudia's Dolls Museum will be open. That's the funny little museum that you go up through the cuts online and up the stairs, and Mary Ellen's Frank studio will be open, and it's right next door to it. Bee's Bakery and Bistro, the hot pink thing, will be having some stuff going on. Photography by Samantha Martin. And, you know, right, let's see, Bent Wooden Bead Gallery is going to be showing new works by four different artists, Salty and Jim Haynes, Sheila Alexandrovich, and Sue Kraft. Boehm will be having models, modeling things, and answering questions. I'm not sure what kind of questions, but I should certainly go there. And just go to the Senate building, because I think everything is open there. Capital City Weekly, they're having Santa and an open house from 4 to 8. Cuts Online is showing Ian Grant's abstract art paintings. The Figment, which is in the Senate building, will be showing paintings by David Woody. The Foggy Mountain Shop will be having a special sale and membership drive for Discovery Southeast, and they'll have activities for kids. Goldtown Nickelodeon is going to have a meet and greet with beverages and snacks. They'll be showing an art film montage. I don't know what that means. Arts, the Hearthside Books has the Shea Alaska Cooking School Cookbook, and Romer and Lorraine Durr and Sharon Barton will be there talking about that and offering some samples. Heritage Second Street's got Beneath the Mendenhall Photographs by Jason Souza, Heritage Coffee Downtown, the 174 South Franklin, Northwest Coast Formline Design Prints by Wrangell artist Allie High. The Juno Artist Gallery is featuring Colette Oliver, and they will be having lots of things. Mulled Cider is listed. We have a fabulous ceramic show opening in the gallery, Andrew Heist. We also will probably, I think, having Alexander Dulitsky signing his new book. And in the main hall, there's going to be roller derby demonstrations and perhaps some other surprising things.
Art and roller derby, perfect.
Uh-huh. You know. Whatever. The Juno Douglas City Museum, I think, you know, Santa Claus on wheels. I'm looking for it.
Better watch out.
Be naughty or nice. Juno Douglas City Museum is showing a retrospective of all the Juno artists' artwork that has been purchased for the museum using Rasmussen funds. And they have a special gift shop thing of fabric ornaments by fiber artist Sarah Lee. The Kodiak Coat Company is having hand-painted wallets by Danny Byers and hand-painted purses and leather coats by Ricky Tagaban. And downstairs in Paradise, Dick Stokes is going to be reading his new out of his new poetry book. K2, you've got some cool stuff out here. What's going on?
Charity Green has organized a variety of local artists here with the theme of Alaska. So
it is. They're not all there yet, but the ones I saw as I was coming in are great. There's an open house at Northwind Architects in their new location on Seward Street. Paradise Beach Tanning and Travel Salon is going to have stuff by Charity Green and Carrie Baxter Graham. And this is a one-night display only. They are not going to be carrying it through the whole thing. Rainy Retreat Books has Riley Woodford singing and performing there. The Ruby Room has illustrations by Pat Race, graphic designs by Sarah Asper Smith, and a bunch of other cool stuff. Shoefly will have shoes being modeled by Elizabeth Peisel Davis. The Back Room has Mustafa Baya. He was recently at the Juno at our gallery, so if you missed that, you can get a second chance to see it. The Canvas has paintings with the masters, artwork by the Reach artists, which were curated by Chris Taylor, Franklin Street Gallery. Boy, I'm winded just reading this list. I can't imagine how we're going to do it Friday night. They have Small Works, is what they said, by Constance Baltock, Barbara Craver, Christine Crooks, Jane Stokes, music by Tom Loker, and there's a wine tasting, and Dan Hobson's playing and selling his beautiful CD. The Grind Coffee Company is on Front Street. It will be showing photography by Jeremy Lavender with music from Randall Wolfenberger and Lisa Miles. So they're going to have all sorts of samples and coffee and whatnot. The Jewel Box is having Stackable Rings Trunk Show, Diamond Cookies, and Holiday Music by the Chapel by the Lake Bell Choir. The Learning Connection, who knew, is having a unique nature photography display of Mary Vanderjack's stuff, and they will be talking about their programs. The Rookery has mixed media and drawings by Jackie Manning and Christopher Charles, music by Ryan Cortez. Wilderness Peaks Gallery has Megan Gruno and Danielle Edmonds, who are sisters, by the way. How was that for a first Friday? And that's just the first 4:30 to 7 o'clock p.m. stuff.
What happens after that?
Then you can go to La Boheme.
If you have tickets.
Yeah. You know, try it at the door, because people do, like myself, I'm not going to be able to use mine, that sort of stuff. So don't hesitate. There's belly dancing at Zephyr from 6:30 to, there's an overlap here that I'm not sure about and didn't have time to check. 6:30 to 7:30 belly dancing, but they also have Doug Bridges and Jim Noel a little later than that. So a couple of things happening at Zephyr. Always a good idea to get reservations for Gallery Walk and First Fridays, because people are out and about. Floyd Dryden is presenting Aladdin Jr. They're running that Friday and Saturday. Friday night at 7, Saturday at 2 and at 7. The Perseverance Christmas Carol is available, and the UAS Improv Club will be out at the UAS Rec Center. If you're not into any of this art stuff, you could go to the Crimson Bear Varsity Hockey versus North Pole Patriots over at the Treadwell Arena at 8 p.m.
Friday
and on Saturday, I think. I think there's two games. The Crystal Method is live at Marlantini's at 9 p.m. on Friday night. Goldtown showing the Attack of La Nina. And you can always sit in with the band with Jason Caputo at the Rendezvous from 9:30 until late in the night. And the Great Alaska Bluegrass Band is over at Douglas Inn, also known as Louie's, starting at 10. Whew. Okay, Saturday. Do we have time to talk about Saturday?
Yeah, we're doing good.
All right, we're doing well. All right. Avril Valise, who is on display over at the Alaska State Museum, will be offering two workshops on Saturday, one in the morning at 10 o'clock for grades 3 through 5th graders on designing heroes and villains, and then she does another one at 2 o'clock, which is for older children. I'm trying to remember what it's called. When we get to it, we'll talk about it. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Drawing Your Own Heroes and Villains. There's something starting at 10 a.m. on Saturday. K2 auction, the radio auction.
You had me going there for a minute. I said, what are you doing?
Don't know what I'm doing. Okay. One of the reasons why you should tune in is it's the only probable table for wearable art Saturday left available. We sold out of tables today, this morning, for wearable art. So if you were thinking about going to wearable art and having a table, you better be listening to the K2 Silent Auction, which begins at 10 a.m. Also, there's a Tibetan master. He's here to teach. He'll be leading things out at Thunder Mountain High School Library both Saturday and Sunday. And I would mention that if you're interested in getting the contact information for this, you can go to both our website and your website and check the calendars where all that stuff is. The coffee and collections at the City Museum is James Cohn talking about his Half Ton of Trouble book. There's many opportunities to have your photo, your children's photo, and your pet's photos with Santa all through the weekend at the various Nugget Mall, Mendenhall Mall, all over the place. Make your own holiday cracker. It's a drop-in activity at the City Museum. Starts at noon. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute is presenting How to Make Moccasins, a workshop with Carmelita Estrada. And I think this goes through the weekend, but you do need to have some preparation done in advance. So go to the website and get the information so you can get signed up for that. There's a moonlight swim at the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool. That's at 4:30 to 6:30. Again, we have the opportunity to see hockey at 7 p.m., I believe it is. There's the Juneau International Folk Dances annual big band dance at Centennial Hall starting at 7 o'clock. We've got the Christmas Carol, Gold Street Music. The Juneau Box Society is doing their Box Infinity Cantatas Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is at 8. Sunday, I think, is at 3. I better check my work on that one. And the improv, UAS Improv, is at the second stage in Perseverance. How are we doing? Can we do Sunday?
Very quickly, give about 2-3 seconds to go.
Okay, well, let's see what we're going to miss. I mentioned the Box Society. Like, we are going to miss a lot. That's Juneau Skating Club Holiday Recital is at 2:30 at the Treadwell Arena. There's a thing on organizing your photos at the Downtown Library at 3:30. There's a film, Pray the Devil Back to Hell, at Northern Light Church, and that is at 6:30. I want to mention, Juneau Cabaret is Sunday at 7 at the Silver Bow Back Room. I want to mention also that on Tuesday from 3 to 6 is the annual Governor's Open House at the mansion, or the Governor's House.
I think that's about all the time we have, Nancy.
All right.
Thank you for coming by. More information can be found at Juneau Arts Humanities Council website or the KTOO website. You're tuned to KTOO in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Ock Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Switzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonet 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, you can hear KTOO on K210 AS at 89.9. We're also live online at www.ktoo.org. If you missed any of this information, it's available again online at ktoo.org. Coming up next is All Things Considered. Thanks for tuning in to June Afternoon. Have a great weekend and a great gallery walk.